Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
What are you guys doing? Welcome everybody to the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
Yeah, I just said hi and mentioned the weather's nice and praise the Lord.
Come on, people. Welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. Hope everybody's doing good on this beautiful Sunday, November 6, 2022. Now, on Tuesday, we can't tell you who to vote for, but please get out there and exercise your right to vote. That's right. This is the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Phone lines are open at 424-243-9617, 424-243-9617. How's everybody mental doing before we get started? Everybody alert? Everybody awake? Everybody got their coffee? Wolfgang, you got your coffee?
Yep. Everybody's
yeah, we're doing fine, Six.
Just got to make sure everybody's alert because I was talking to myself. Nobody was answering. All right. Now we're going to find out what's going on with the world. Everybody's mental's doing good? All right. So we're going to see what's going on in the world.
I want to pray for Dr. Oz's family. He passed away.
All right, we would definitely be doing that. Yeah, we definitely want to send our condolences to his family. Dr. Oz, as you know, he was running in the election, and sad that he passed away. So if many of you remember, Dr. Oz had the Dr. Oz show, and he was a cardiologist. I had a friend who appeared on his show, my friend that's in PR, public relations, and she appeared on the show, and she said she had a great time, said he was very down to earth. This particular time, they were on there talking about, what was that topic they were talking about? It was like a quirkiness, people's quirkiness and stuff. So they had like the little props set up and stuff. I'll have to talk to her again to kind of remember exactly what they did. But I know they had the little model set up, and they was doing different little things. So she's had a lot of fun on that show. But once again, I want to send condolences to the Oz family from the Six Oz Radio Network. Did you ever catch it?
And also, Six, we got one other request for the Wyana Judd family. She took her own life.
Wasn't that a while back, Naomi Judd?
Yeah, I saw it in a magazine. I think it was yesterday, and I thought, man, her daughter's still singing, but what's she doing, solos now? I mean, her mother is the one who killed herself?
You know, and this is the thing why we do the mental health check-in here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, because when the Lord breathed breath into your lungs, whatever time he did this morning to wake us up is what got us to this point now. And we just got to check in and see how people are doing. You know, give a call, hey, how you doing? You know, without wanting anything, you know, give a call to see how a person is doing. And if we do that, the world will be a little bit more better place, you know. But oftentimes you get a call, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Oh, this, oh, that, you know, and, you know, people get tired of that. I know I do, you know. So we just got to start making sure everybody is cool without wanting anything, a genuine call. You notice how I call you guys? We drink coffee. I don't want anything from you. You notice?
Amen.
You know? And that's how it should be. But, you know, oftentimes that's not the case. You know? So everybody must do better. Mankind, the world, do better. Call and see how your people are doing without wanting anything. This is the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
You know, Six, I think it's also, you know, you think about encouragement is of the Lord and discouragement of the devil. If we encourage each other more, it would actually give us more blessings.
Right. All right, here's our NPR news.
Voting concludes Tuesday. Biden heads to Yonkers in New York today to campaign with New York Governor Kathy Hochul. It's a blue state, but she's in a tight race against Republican Lee Zeldin. Biden, whose approval ratings have hovered in the low 40s, has stuck largely to campaigning in Democratic areas, though he did appear with former President Barack Obama at a rally for Pennsylvania Senate candidate John Fetterman yesterday.
This isn't a referendum this year. It's a choice between two vastly different visions of America.
The president heads back to Washington, D.C. tonight and will continue to campaign tomorrow. Eric McDaniel, NPR News, Wilmington.
In Georgia, a rematch of the 2018 governor's race could be another close contest between incumbent Republican Brian Kemp and Democrat Stacey Abrams. Georgia Public Broadcasting's Stephen Fowler explains the economy and health care are the top issues.
Kemp's reelection campaign is centered around a prosperous state economy in Georgia, the first to reopen amidst the COVID pandemic, and a flourishing budget with record surpluses and sizable raises for teachers and law enforcement. Abrams argues Republican leadership has led to uneven economic success that has left some rural parts of the state behind, and that a failure to expand Medicaid in the state has harmed the state's health infrastructure. Kemp has led in every public poll, though Georgia's closely divided electorate and a Libertarian candidate could send the race to a runoff if neither crosses the 50% threshold Tuesday. For NPR News, I'm Stephen Fowler in Atlanta.
A small passenger plane crashed into Lake Victoria as it approached an airport in Tanzania this morning. The country's prime minister says at least 19 people have died and that recovery efforts continue. The cause of the crash is not clear, but the state broadcaster says it was raining heavily at the time. Videos and pictures posted on social media showed the plane almost completely submerged in Lake Victoria, the largest lake in Africa. The United Nations Climate Change Conference is underway in Egypt. Delegates have agreed to consider whether richer countries should help poorer countries pay for the damage wrought by climate change. Egyptian Foreign Minister Samu Shukri is hopeful that the matter is even up for discussion this year.
I think it would be highly unproductive to speculate on what the substantive content of the negotiating process will lead to, but certainly everybody is hopeful that the political will that has been demonstrated currently and that has led us to the inclusion of the item will continue in the coming negotiating process.
For years, richer countries have resisted the idea. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
All right, and that's our news from NPR, our affiliate, so we know what's going on in the world now. Now we just need an opening prayer. Let's get this show going, the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Amen.
Amen. All right. Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day. In you we have another way. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to take the wheel of this here program, Lord Jesus, and help especially that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God is raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes on the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day, and let them get in contact with us, Lord Jesus, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask for the family and friends, first of all, Lord Jesus, who's lost someone due to COVID-19, that you'd comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19 as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for situations, Lord Jesus, that are dirty rotten, Lord Jesus, out there, Lord Jesus, that you know that are out there, that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, help us to love our neighbors as ourselves, O Lord Jesus. As we do, we be loving the omnipresent neighbor, who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, are we ready for our scripture readings?
Amen, amen. Yes, we are.
Okay, here we go.
This is Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils.
Come on, Ruth.
And to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, and who is this, of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. Okay, this is Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. Once again, we want to say hello to our surrounding city and states, our faraway countries. We do appreciate your listening. And once again, you're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show. The phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. If you're on the phone lines, I want to say hello. If you want to say anything that the Lord has done for you, press the 1 and let us know right now.
Hello, Brother Six.
Sister Emily, how are you? Praise God. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Hanging in there.
Good, good, good. Glad to hear it. How's your mom?
Honor is a devil.
Good, good. Well, as long as she's honorary, that's a good thing. She's still here. And once again, keep Mama Tyler in your prayers. That's Nikhil's mom. Keep her mom in your prayers. God's the healer of all healers. Pray for my family, my friends, my fans, your family, your friends, your fans. Pray for them. And we want to send out condolences to Aaron Carter. If you all were a lover of the Backstreet Boys, that was Nick Carter's younger brother. So we want to send condolences to his family from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Once again, Dr. Oz sending out condolences to his family from the Six Eyes Radio Network, praying for strength and comfort at this difficult time for your family. Also, the rapper Amigos lost his life. The rapper called Takeoff lost his life at a bowling alley, so we want to send our thoughts and prayers to his family, friends, and fans, praying for strength and comfort at this difficult time for them, and just praying for mankind as a whole. Amen.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for the prayers from my mom.
You're very welcome. Now, would you like to sing for us?
Not at all, sir. Not at all. Not in the
state
of mind right now.
Okay. And we're going to get into some music. Praise
God.
Praise God. Say it again.
Unmute. It's in God's hands.
Okay.
Hi, Princess. Love you, darling.
Okay, we're going to get ready for...
Thank you.
Love you, beautiful.
Hi, Sister Ruthie. And thank you. Love you guys, too. Hi, Sister Emily. Hi, Missionary Kim.
Wake up, Ken. Ruthie, what is Ken doing?
No, I thought it was my turn to sleep.
Are you getting tired, baby?
I thought it was my turn to sleep.
Listen, man. Either we're going to do this show or we're not. Okay? Do you all want to do a gospel show?
Oh, I got some exciting news, guys. I had a good time today. I went over to the Church of God in Christ on West Avenue, and it was wonderful. It was so electrified. The Holy Spirit was everywhere. I had so much fun. I thought, oh, man, we're going to heaven soon. This church was fun, man. I had a blast.
Well, amen. Next time, take Kenny. All right, we're going to get into some music. Once again, it's Six Eyes Gospel Show. Amen. you're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
Did you be my life when I cannot see? When I can't take another step, Lord, will you carry? And when I've lost my fight, will you be my strength? Will you set me a table in the presence of my enemies? I shall not walk. I shall not walk. Oh, my soul got a shepherd in the valley, and I shall not walk. I shall not walk. I shall not walk. 'Cause my cup's running over, and I shall not walk. And I will live my life to where my help comes from. And I won't be afraid of the shadow, 'cause I've seen the sun. No, I will not stop with the waiting time. 'Cause you see,
gonna trade this cross for a crown. this is not the end. And when you call my name, I will take my hand. There's a mansion in glory, you're gonna meet me there. I shall not walk. I shall not.
Has the pastor arrived yet?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Six Eyes Gospel.
Personal, this life's a miracle. Wake up, it's a new day.
Christmas tree.
Greetings.
Amen. He is here. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. God bless you, my God. How you been on this wonderful God-given day?
I am blessed. I am blessed, highly favored. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome, everybody. This is our very own Pastor Kenneth Vine.
Amen. Well, truly it is an honor to be with you all one more time. I want to say one more again. It is a blessing to do it one more time. That means I am in the land of the living. Amen. I have the opportunity to be with y'all in the flesh. This is not a recording unless you're listening to it on another day outside of this Sunday during this time frame. It is a blessing to be here with the Six Eyes Radio Network family. God bless each of you all in your respective places. God bless your families. It's just always a privilege just to be on this platform to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. Amen. And so we thank God for every opportunity that allows us to share our faith with others that's either of like faith or not sure what to believe in. And hopefully over the time we have said something, done something that have encouraged others to develop their own personal relationship with God. So many things we're going to be dealing with this month of November. The month of November is, in America, our Thanksgiving month. And so many things we're going to be thankful for. Amen. So the monthly emphasis this month is, and God bless them. And we'll put dot, dot, dot. And usually when you put three dots behind a statement, it means so much more. And so I want to share this month topics in that way. On the Motivational Monday, we're going to be still dealing with prayer and how God blesses us through it. And so today, this is something maybe you have heard me speak on in part, but I want to approach it in a different light, one that would give us an understanding of, and God bless them. And before I minister this subject, I just want you to say to yourself, God did, or God has already blessed me. Go ahead and say it. Say, God has already blessed me. Blessed me. Amen. I want you to say it one more time. Say, God has already blessed me.
God has already blessed me. You know, I don't know what the rest of the congregation is.
I want you to say it one more time because I want you to believe this in your spirit. I want you to receive this in your soul. And so I want you, this is not just positive confession, but the power of life and death lies within the tongue. And so I want you to say already, God has already blessed me.
God has already blessed me.
Amen.
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 Okay, Ruthie.
Okay, Ruthie.
Somebody close to each other, please get away.
Amen.
Come on, God.
Amen.
Come on, God. Amen.
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 Okay, we still got an echo. Okay. Shane, are you and Ruthie in the same room? Jesus Christ. Ruthie or Ken?
Everybody. If everybody would do me this one favor. Mute your individual line.
Yes, sir.
What did they?
Amen. Amen. Charles. Their mic is open. Maybe they don't realize that they're muted, so they can use their individual lines, and we'll keep moving with the show.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Because the loop is coming from somewhere. Praise the name of the Lord. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I don't hear the repeat. So good. We're blessed. We're back. Amen. To our listening audience, we respect everyone in their respective places. It is always our desire to give everyone a good listening experience. And so I am personally muting. Everyone is now muted. Amen. Amen. Everyone is now muted except me. Amen. I love all of you. And sometimes the enemy will bring in subtle distractions like this to bring in frustration and hostility to cause us to miss the blessing. And so right now, before I even minister, I just want everybody to say this where you are. You ain't got to say it over the mic. Just say, I forgive whatever have disturbed my peace. I forgive whomever have disturbed my peace. I'm at peace to hear what God is saying unto me in this season. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity to minister life and truth. And we pray, Lord God, that what we minister now is something that will bless your people. Lord, we know that the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And it will be his desire to steal, kill, and to destroy the hearing and understanding of a message like this. So, God, we first of all surrender ourselves unto you, that you will have your way and that you will speak the way you want to speak unto us. Holy Spirit, come in to our atmosphere, wherever we are, whether we're in our homes, in our front rooms, bedrooms, outside on the porch, or in our cars, or at a neighbor's. Wherever we are, Lord God, we ask that you would give us a listening ear to hear what your Spirit is saying unto the church. And we thank you now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and receive. Amen and amen. Amen. Once again, it is a privilege to be here on the Six Eyes Gospel Show, the place where you get your praise on without leaving the house. I know thus far you have already had some good gospel music. I'm quite sure Brother Charles has had his chance to tighten up his dancing shoes so he can shout to the Lord the goodness of the Lord. I'm quite sure Ruth kicked hers off and ran around the house saying, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah. I'm quite sure y'all already had the opportunity to let go and to let God. And today I want to deal with a matter that is so important that we dare not miss it, because it is something that can take us from now unto glory and take us there in a blessed way. Amen. And the emphasis this month is, and God bless them. And who? And God bless them. Not the devil, not your friend, not your neighbor, not someone who has a little bit more money than you, but and God bless them. Glory, hallelujah. We're going to the book of Genesis today. We're going to find in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Y'all know many times I like to start in Genesis at 26, but today we're going to jump on 27 and 28. Then we're going to go over to the second chapter of Genesis. But right now we're in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. And I will be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. The Bible says here in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27, so God created man in his own image. I'm going to take a little time and minister this word today, because in a world where everybody seems to be so busy, we need to stop for a moment and take careful consideration when you look at me and when I look at you. I shouldn't be just looking at another person, nor should you just be looking at just another person. But what you really are looking at is the image of the Almighty. Oh, y'all know y'all don't like that, but that's the truth, because God said here in the Word. So God created man in his what? Own image of God created he male and female. That means you sisters, oh, blessed be the name of the Most High God. I'm so glad I'm a man, but I thank God for a woman. Oh, glory to God. World would be a sad place if it were just being here by themselves. Lord have mercy. I thank God for a woman. Amen. I thank God for my one wife. Amen, somebody. Glory to God. And God made them in his own image, both the male and female. There was a creature that God made called man. And in this species that God called man, he made male and female. Mm-hmm. He made both, amen, in his own image. Lord have mercy. Slow down, preacher. Don't take them too fast. That's all right. So he created them in his image. And the next part of the verse reads, and God blessed them. That's where we're going to take our theme from this month. And who blessed them? And God blessed them. Now, you got to read the Bible to have a full understanding. Amen. So many times we don't read the Bible. We hear what people say and assume that's what the Bible says. But if you take careful, and I do mean careful, consideration of what was written, before God made you and I, before he made us, he put all of the condition of this world system in order. Amen. We were not born in a barren land. Mm-hmm. You may have been born poor. You may have been born with an affliction. You may have even been born with addiction. But what you were born in, you were born into a land that have a promise to bless you. When we read the scripture, we see that when man came into the world, everything that was needed for him was already here. So, and God blessed them. I'm going to read it again for your hearing. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he male and female, created he them. One of the other systems that God created was a system that was going to operate in the order of God between one man and one woman. Adam wasn't born with two and three wives. Eve wasn't born with two and three husbands. They were born, actually, they were created. Amen. They was created for the single purpose of blessing this world. Wow. God blessed them. They didn't have no third grade education, no junior high education, no senior high education, no college degree. They didn't even have trade school. But what they had from their creation, and it was so much powerful that the whole world is blessed because of it. And that was the power to reproduce. And so we see that God blessed them with the power to recreate life. So he created them and he blessed them. They say that there's enough of the sperm in a man that one could impregnate the whole world of women, because no man can be pregnant. But the system operates one at a time. And it only operates through that system. As much as they don't try to clone this and clone that, as much as they don't try, you cannot create life without life. Now, that ain't what I'm talking about, but somebody needs to hear that. So I'm going to move on to my text. And God said unto them, be fruitful. Be fruitful. Now, if I planted an apple tree, Brother Charles, in my backyard, and I tell my apple tree to be fruitful, tell me, please tell me, at any time should I go out there expecting bananas? At any time should I go out there expecting grapefruit? No, as much as peaches taste good, if I planted an apple seed, then I expect that tree to reproduce more apples. So he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. We're going to deal with that one day, but not today. And to do it, there's a big conjunction here that God set as a premise or as a work schedule for man to do. He blessed them. That means he gave them the material needed to do the job. And he tell them, go out and reproduce much to replenish. And then while you're doing that, subdue. Now, just in case you don't understand the word to do, I want you to think about it as a criminal running from the police. He can say, stop, police, freeze. If that person chose not to stop, that means they did not surrender on their own accord. They had to be apprehended because they began to keep running. So in order for that officer to catch that person, they must catch up with them and overcome them through what is called being subdued. And so subdue it is to take control of it. Don't let it take control of you. And have dominion. Now, pay attention to the rest of this. It says, and have dominion, this authority to change, because it's dominion, where we get the word, from the word dunamis. To have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that move upon the face of the earth. I want you to take note here that he did not say each other. I want you to take note that he said things, not people. To those of you that's very smart, and I'm quite sure some of you that's listening to me now are smarter than me, I want you to understand that there's an absence of so much information that's been given. So that's something I can't assume and I can't plug in. It was never meant for us to have kings and queens, rulers over us. Self-governing was the original plan because God is our king. But we missed something. We lost something. And the struggle has been many of us don't know how to get it back. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Follow me again to chapter 2. As we turn to chapter 2, we see the continuation of this creation story. And this part we call the fall of man. We see what took place. Genesis chapter 2, we see that God does something unique. Now, God is so wise that he put all of this together, and he did not allow it to rain on the earth, so there was no rain, because he didn't want the vegetation over so much until he had a manager in place. The job of the manager was to manage the property of the Lord. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. So whether you believe God or not, truly and earnestly, already belong to him, even though you may reject him, because you didn't make yourself, and neither did I make myself. We have a creator. So in our Genesis story, the beginning, see that God created a world system The world system has 5 operational systems that secures it. And when God came down to you and I, he gave us twice as much because we had so much to do. He gave us in our bodies 10 operational systems. What you saying, preacher? Well, if God gave the world 5 operational systems and he gave me 10 operational systems, that means the way God is going to do things is through a system. So let's address it. The Lord God took the man, verse 15 of chapter 2 in the book of Genesis. And the Lord, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's the all-sufficient one. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? To dress it. Now, I don't know if you have children or nieces or nephews, but if you're going to dress something, you got to touch it. Mm-hmm. If you're going to tend to something, you have to be active, involved with it. So he put him in the Garden of Eden. In other words, God had so many gardens because the earth is so big. He named one Edom. And he put the first man he created in this garden with the job to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded, he commanded. He didn't suggest. He didn't just step back and just, oh, let's see what he going to do. Now he gave instruction. And according to Malachi, God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So even before Adam was put in position, God had a plan for his life. Jeremiah 29:11, I know my thoughts towards you, declare the Lord. Thoughts of what? Good and not of evil. Everything that God has planned for us is to bless us. There's not one good parent, and I use the word good, there's not one good parent having children will allow their children or make their children to beg to eat. Nor will that parent, being able, allow their children to run around naked and exposed. No, no. A good parent ensure that the very basic need of life for their child is there. They plan it before the beginning. Many traditions now have baby showers where the needs of the child before the child is even born is already being met. Now, if you and I can do that, how much more will our Heavenly Father make sure that our needs are already here when he places us here? The real problem is he placed us in a system to be blessed, and we removed ourselves out of the system. Therefore, we have missed our blessing because we did what happens when you go to the bus stop, and the bus stop is there, and you say, well, I want a soda and some chips, but I know it's scheduled time for the bus to come any time now. Oh, I think I could run inside this store and get me a soda pop and some potato chips. As soon as you run inside the store, yes, there's nothing wrong with the store, and it even wasn't nothing wrong with the desire to have something out of the store. The point is, you knew that the bus was on its way, and you knew that there was a great possibility that you would miss the bus if you left the bus stop. See, the bus stop has a system in which the organization or those that construct the public transportation, they have a time and a schedule and a route. And you knew the time and the schedule. And you was there because it went along the route that you needed to go on. But because of you allowing another thought to override what you knew, you left the bus stop knowing that the bus only stopped if there's someone to pick up. Just because there's a bus stop there don't mean the bus just come and stop. Otherwise, the bus will never get anywhere. But the bus only stops when there's someone there to be picked up. And when you left your place, you are now out of the system that was designed to bless you. The city didn't do you no injustice. They had a system, they had a time and a schedule performed as they should. You, my brother, my sister, allowed a thought to override what you understood. Here in the Genesis story, we see very clearly, as we continue to read, he said, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely, no charge, freely eat. In other words, I'm not charging you for nothing. Listen, part of the deal is you take care of the garden, and whatever you want to eat from the garden, you can eat. But, because God always intended on us not relying on things, but relying on him, the process of preserving something for God always being in the beginning. Many people don't see this as a form of tithe, but it is. It's not a law, it's a commandment. He said, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, we don't know how many trees was in the garden, so we don't know if this was a true 10% temptation. But what we do know, that it was something that God set aside for himself. And he didn't set it aside out of the reach of man, because it could have been very easy for God to set this tree outside of Eden. And that way, if Adam went outside of Eden, then he was strictly in a violation. But he set it in the midst, because he gave Adam a charge to take care of the garden. to dress it. Make sure everything grow right. Make sure that when it's time for the fruit to be plucked, it's plucked. Staying in order. Keep everything the way I intended it to be. So he says to him, thou shalt not eat of it. Don't eat this. Today, there are many preachers and teachers of law, be it religious or in the natural. There are many people that are teaching their philosophies, their understanding. But he said something very clear to us. He first placed him in his property. He tells him freely, that's without any disregard, you can enjoy everything but. And here's how a spirit of greed sets in. This is the beginning. Everything in the garden is already beautiful. Everything in the garden already is pleasant. But look what happens when you start listening to the wrong voice. God tells him, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He tells him, I have a system, and this system functions this way. And it's not for you to break the system, but to manage the system. Now, many of us know the story. We read it. In fact, let's read it. But you must turn over to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, we see, now the serpent. Okay. And this is the day when the serpent had feet. Some even said wings. But we know they had feet because you can turn a snake over today and they have two stubs under their belly where their feet used to be. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, God has made. I want to also point out to you as you read this text, we've been reading the language Lord God. But when the serpent start talking, I want you to pay attention to the language. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, observation number one I want to make to you, that you cannot tend to anything without truly touching it. If your doctor was going to operate on you, this is not Star Trek. There's not a device that's going to remove why he just rolled it over you, passed you by. No, 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 no. That doctor is going to have to cut you open, and he's going to have to identify with the cancer or the element, the thing that needs to be changed, whether it be whatever's going on, whether you have a erupted kidney or whatever. He's going to have to identify with it and properly remove it, not spilling any of the toxin, not allow anything to be left behind that may cause further infection or ailment. And what he put in, he has to make sure that all of that come back out with him, that nothing is left in you. So many doctors have made mistakes over the years, and people got closed up with things inside of them that wasn't supposed to be, and they were worse off in the beginning, because you cannot change the system that God set in order to bless you. And so she changed the system. She said, no, I can't eat it, nor can I touch it. And so since she couldn't touch it, he simply got her to keep gazing at it. Going through the checkout line, you know good and well, you only came in there to get 3 items. You already got 4 items. You're trying to get out there without getting anything else. And all of a sudden, the cashier got to do a price check, and you're in that checkout line, and you begin to look around. And all of a sudden, cravings come out of nowhere. Now you want chocolate. Now you want candy. Now you want this. Oh, you look at that and say, ooh, I remember when I was young, there was, ooh, we used to have line leaders. There goes some Starburst. Ooh, Lord, have this that. You've already said what you were going to do and what you wasn't going to do. But while in the process of you waiting, something got a hold to your eye gate. Mm-hmm. And your eyes begin to look around, and the more you look, the more you desire. That's why men, if we was in church right now, I'd tell you, look at me. Don't look at the sister behind you or next to you. Your wife might get you. Uh-huh. But since we're on the radio, listen. Man, I know she look good, but if she nachos, that's Taco Bell. What do you mean, Taco Bell? Nachos. Taco Bell. Uh-huh. Keep your eyes on what belongs to you. Amen. And you'll be all right. It is when you begin to gaze upon other things, and you gaze too long, all of certain desires want to kick in. Eve began to listen to the serpent, and he listened to her tell her some foolishness. What did he say? She tells him, we can eat of any tree, but the one in the midst of the garden, we cannot. God has said, we can't eat it, neither shall we touch it, lest we die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Don't that sound like some people you know telling you, well, that ain't what God meant. You going down to that church, you listening to them preachers, they just want your money. The very same people that's saying that to you want to borrow money from you, want to take you to places that are going to spend money from you. All these systems of the world require some type of financial arrangement in order to succeed. All of them. So he tells her, God lied to you. You are not going to die. God is just scared that when you eat of it, you're going to be just like him. Somebody say stop. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Because didn't we read over in the previous chapter that in the image and likeness he made them? Male and female, created he them. Didn't we read that? Here it is. The devil is telling you You can't be blessed unless you do this or that, when you are already blessed. The avenue for God to bless you as a born-again believer has already been released in your direction. You simply have to operate within the systems that God has set up for you. Now, there was no commandment written between the time of Adam up until the time of Moses after the age of 8. So Moses has spent over half of his life serving God some kind of way. But God stopped Moses and told Moses, I'm going to give you a new way. And you're going to have to lead my people out of the system that they are now in into another system. I think you have to be or have to know and understand what it is to have an addiction. An addiction is something that by some kind of way influences your life that you can live without it. The children of Israel, after they crossed the Red Sea, kept saying to Moses, you should have left us in Egypt. Was there not enough slush pots in Egypt that you had to bring us to the desert to die? Slush pot. Slush pot is the pot that where, you know, we are eating today at our homes and you have a dog. You take your bones and you put them somewhere else. And it's stuff that you spit out. It's the leftover food that maybe has fell to the ground. Slush pot. Stuff that they would give to the pigs and to the dogs, to their livestock, so that they wouldn't be so wasteful. You mean to tell me God has delivered you from people who have oppressed you, that you've been crying about this situation, crying about that situation, and now God got you a new environment, and you're designed to go back to the old environment? You're designed to go back to the boyfriend that beat you all because he had money, and you don't have as much as you used to have, and you want to go back to the beautiful? You just have to understand, and he was, no. Stop making excuses for the devil and stick with the system that God organized for your development. And so many times the struggle is how to come from under the curse. I know Christ set us free. You know Christ set us free, but do your body know? That's why our soul is saved and our bodies are being transformed. Back to the text. So here it is. Eve is in a dialogue with Satan, who has entered the body of a snake. Now, in case you didn't know, in order to operate in earth, you have to have a body. In order to do anything in our domain, you must have a body. As a spirit or a disembodied spirit, you can have no domain to make everyday changes in this world. You will be a invader. To operate in this system, God set it up. That's why he said in the previous verse, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field, and every creeping thing. Those other systems, God gave up authority over them. So when the serpent came to Eve and began to share with him about something that we know hindsight, he was cast out of. She should have in no way listened to him. When you know God has delivered you and blessed you, don't listen to folk that don't know where God has brought you from. If God has given you a system to be blessed, that's why I tell y'all, I don't care who say it, who teach against it, tithing is a system to receive guaranteed blessing. Tithing is a system set by God to guarantee the tither to be blessed. But I stand on verse 11 in the book of Malachi, because I realize that there's a devourer. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And that devourer wants to take away the increase that God has given me in my life. And so when I operate within the system of God, then that system has to support me because I'm operating under it. That's why last week we talked about being of authority and under authority. The blessing is when you have authority and you're under authority, the person that gave you the authority is the one that's going to ensure what is being said can be reinforced. Since God has given me an avenue to be blessed, it's his job to reinforce it. Not mine. I don't have to open up the windows of heaven and pull me out a blessing that I have. No. If I do as he instructed to the now. I'm not in an agricultural center, so I'm not going to go to my backyard and pick out 10% of my apples and 10% of my oranges. I don't have them. If I want apples and oranges, I got to go to the store and buy them. I live in a system where I go to work, I receive equal funding for the work that I put in. And since it was God who gave me strength and knowledge to work the job that I work, to do the labor that I do, then out of honoring him, my thank you is, Lord, thank you for allowing me to get wealth. And so since you have allowed me to get wealth, I want to put this portion back into your system. Like a true farmer understands that it is never okay to eat all of your seed. Because when planting season come again, if you have ate all of your seed, you will have nothing to plant. So the increase comes from how much you plant. If you plant little, you reap little. But if you plant much, you reap more. Now, that's not the teaching today, so we're going to move on back to Genesis. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, next is, if that was her understanding, she should have never touched it. She should have never put her hand on it. I don't care that the enemy told her, you shall not die. But she believed someone because she had looked at it too long. Let's read the text. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, plural, knowing good and evil. Did y'all notice anything in the reading? In the beginning, we was the Lord God. When the serpent started talking, it was just God. See, it's not enough for you to recognize God is. But if he's not Lord, then it opens you to disobey. It opens you to error. And most people don't realize all before now, it was the Lord God, the Lord God. All of a sudden, this conversation have God said. And she didn't identify, she did not state, well, the Lord God. See, she didn't even bring correction to Satan or to the serpent. That's why you need to know the Bible for yourself. That's why whenever I'm teaching and ministering the word, I ask you to read with me. It is very possible. I'm a human being. I can be wrong. There's people that don't believe in tithing. And so to them, I'm wrong for telling you to do it. They believe that I'm teaching you a system of bondage. And if you ever read the type, then you'll realize it's a system to be blessed. It's not one of bondage at all. So why they fight it? Anytime something don't directly bless other people, they begin to teach against it. Anytime, and I've seen it. There's been preachers that wouldn't preach about tithing until they became the pastor. And when they looked at the books and seen that they couldn't hardly pay the bill, they couldn't do the mission of the church, all of a sudden now they got a brand new revelation. And there's no new revelation. And this was written aforetime. Every church has its own mission from God. And when you become a member of a church, you have made a conscious decision to be part of that system that God has orchestrated to bless that whatever community they are blessing. Our problem is we done heard about bad preachers misappropriating funds and got jealous or envious or whatever we assumed, teaching against it. None of us turned down our modern technology. And there have been all type of misappropriated funds in the development of everything we own, computerized, telephone, and so on. But it don't stop you from getting it. It don't stop you from investing your hard-earned money on these things. anytime you go and take your hard-earned money and go to a restaurant versus going to the grocery store, buying your own food, cooking it, and I ain't got no problem with you going to the restaurant, because I sure go. And when I get off of here with you all today, I'm probably going to Warren again and take my wife to a restaurant, because I don't smell no food in the kitchen cooking. And when I get done with you all ministering, I's going to be hungry. And I's going to want something to eat. And therefore, I'm saying to you, what they do with the money when I released it, did they give me what I asked for? Have I given them what was required? Then that's the end of my conversation. What they do on their end is their business between them and their God. What I do on my end is between me and my God. You know that song that says, sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine? It's fitting right up in here. Because we get so worried about so many other things till we don't pay close enough attention to what's going on in our own camp. And I think I want to accuse Brother Adam of not following his instruction. Because the Bible says that, and when the woman saw, she did what? Saw, she started looking. Now, we don't know how many times and for how many days, because it does not give us a timeline, but we do not know how many times, how many years have gone by and they looked at that fruit tree. But all of a sudden now, this day, and there's only two of them, so I don't care if it was 10 trees in the garden, there was still enough fruit to last them every year till harvest came back again. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes. Six eyes, watch it. And it was pleasant eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. This is a whole lot of thinking now. This ain't just an impulse thing. And that's how this type of sin, this type of disobedience, isn't something that just happened. Something that got down into her spirit. It was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired, and a tree, not the fruit. Now she done went from the fruit. Now she's looking at the tree. I mean, she's looking this thing up and down. She took the fruit thereof and did eat. She took it, and she did eat of it. Man, you're not off the hook. We are not off the hook. And gave also unto her husband. That's why we know God defined marriage between one man and one woman. Because it's in the very beginning of Genesis. And gave also to her husband not to the man that's just with us. So I don't care what y'all say today. Shacking is still wrong. Get married. Make the commitment to be one in the eyes of God. Two men cannot be one. Two women cannot be one. That is a different system. It is not part of God's system. Therefore, God cannot bless that system. It doesn't mean they won't have wherewithal, but it does mean God is not in it, period. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I think, and this is just me thinking, I'm entitled to it. I think if Adam would have said, Eve, no, we can't do this. God has forbidden us to eat this. And even though she had eaten, I think that he could have went before God to forgive her. More so, I think that if Adam would have been more attentive to the garden, he would have stopped her before she ate it. A lot of times, some of the issues are because we allow people to make up their own mind, not realizing there are times when we have the power to say, no, don't do that. Consider this. You're walking on the sidewalk in your neighborhood, and two houses down from where you are, you hear the bouncing of a ball and the laughter of a child. Moments later, you see the ball bounce down the driveway into the street where there are oncoming cars. And at that moment, a few yards away, you hear the feet or the sounds of small feet running after the ball. Which one of us would look for a parent to go stop the child? Which one of us would turn around and walk the opposite direction? One of us with a heart and a conscience would simply react to get the child to stop running into what could be the end of her life. We will scream. We will shout. We will move towards them, hoping that we were close enough to stop them. You don't know the traps of the enemy. I can tell that story because I remember being a young child. And we had these little cars that if you pulled it back and pulled it back and pulled it back, it would tighten up the wheels and the wheels would give it more power to run on its own. And we had the ones where you push it. The faster you push it, it will go faster and it will run. And I can remember letting the car go and it going down the driveway. And I can remember chasing that car. And this is how I know God is real. As a child, I heard something tell me to stop. And had I not stopped, I would not be here today. My children would not be here today. All of the lives that I affected or affected me would not have happened. And we live in a world where God has blessed us already. And our focus is on so many material things till we forget that everything that we need is already here. God don't have to open up heaven to pour us out a blessing. The truth of the matter is, if we work his system, already guaranteed certain blessings. I know what I'm talking about. I know it's right. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. We're reading Psalm 1, the first division of the book of Psalms. Psalms 1 and 1, and I'm done. Blessed is the man. What? Blessed is, blessed, past tense. B-L-E-S-S-E-D, past tense. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I guess I got to read the rest of it now. A biscuits, I got to go and cook them all. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Not just on Sunday, not just on Saturday, but day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water. Last week I had to cut down some trees that was in a pond. And we took a rope to pull it, try to pull it up by the root. That didn't happen. And you had to let go of the rope and cut them all to the stump. Because although the water had retreated from the area where we were cutting, that tree wasn't budging. His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight. His delight. In other words, where he get joy from, it's in the law of the Lord. And in the law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. Bringing forth what? Fruit. That's an increase. He said, be fruitful. If you're going to be fruitful, meditate day and night of the commandment of God. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does, when you are diligent and faithful, prosperity is guaranteed. It don't matter how many times you fail. What matter is you kept on till you succeeded. The ungodly are so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sitteth in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And God bless them. Brothers and sisters, so very important to understand, before you start crying to God about what you don't have, to realize that God has already blessed you. Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. It's okay for you to ask God to bless you again. But don't act like God didn't bless you. Do not act as if God wasn't kind to you. Don't act like God had abandoned you. If you draw breath right now, God has shown kindness unto you. I want to thank everybody for just being who you are. Thank you for, once again, the opportunity to come before you and to share gospel truth with you on today. I'm Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, an ordained elder in the Church of God in Christ. I believe in holiness. I believe in righteousness. I believe all of us are capable of any mistake, but I thank God for his saving grace that knows the difference between something that's done by mistake and things done on purpose. But even then, if God is giving you life, you have an opportunity to repent. So I say unto you, if you know you've done wrong, repent, and God will receive you back. I love you with the love of Christ. God bless you and God keep you. Amen. I turn it back over to the hands of those in charge of the program.
Amen, amen. And hello, Tipper, on this beautiful afternoon. Great Master Pastor Bonnet. I like how you went into Genesis and talked about, you know, the fruit. You know, they could have ate of everything they wanted to eat, but just not that tree. It's kind of like having a piece of pie or a donut or a piece of cake put up, you know, for your coffee in the morning. He said, hey, don't touch this. You can eat anything else, but don't touch this. And then you get ready to get up for it, and it's gone. So that's the nugget I got from it. Great
wow,
message.
That's good. That's good. I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, all the mics are open on today. Anyone else have a nugget or something that you would like to express concerning the lesson on today?
Hey, Pastor Bonnet.
God bless you, Sister Emily. Amen. I called you the other day. I left you a message.
Yeah, I just been ripping and running trying to get things done. That's the only reason I ain't got back with you, honey.
That's all right. I understand. We all be busy at times. All I'm saying is tag you it.
Oh, real cute, Pop. Real cute.
Tag you it.
You know, today in your message where you were at the end where you were saying about never say that God ain't blessed you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, God blessed me with two hotels. Two different hotels I've been in. And now I've got our listeners that last night on the broadcast, Six had asked me to come on there and explain the situation I'm in. Coming Friday morning, I no longer have the funds to stay where I'm at. And
okay.
The person Monday afternoon is supposed to let me know if his landlord's going to allow me to stay over there, but I don't know how that's going to work out.
Okay.
But I just want to tell the listeners, anybody that listened last night and heard the broadcast about the need that I'm needing in order to have permanent housing, whatever you can do, I would just greatly appreciate it, just so I'm not out in the night air and in the cold and getting sicker than I already am.
Amen. Amen.
Well, maybe if Ken can wake up for a moment, if Ken can wake up for a moment and tell how they can help her, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. This is the Six Eyes Gospel.
I was just about to do that, Brother Six, because that's kind of what my takeaway was from his message. He was talking about tithing and giving. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it talks about, because 2 Corinthians chapter 9 talks about helping your brother who's in need. That's what they were doing when they were giving, and Paul was talking about cheerfully giving, and it talked about the scripture that he was talking about, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly, sow bountifully, you reap bountifully, and then it goes on to say that it says, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver, but has you purpose in your heart. So if you wish to give to help Emily, you could give through our blind ministry, and there are two options to help get that money right away to her. First off, if you've got a PayPal account, enter the email address 2for1katie@gmail.com. That's digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com, 2for1katie@gmail.com. If you use a credit card and don't have a PayPal account, you could go to our website at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org, and go straight down to the bottom of that page where it says Love Offerings. Click Love Offerings, and you could use your credit card to send a donation that way.
And it is a secure site. You have to let them know when they want to give and use their credit cards. You have to ensure them that it's a secure site here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Never forget that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, it is.
Amen. Well, we're definitely praying for an open door for you. Many are doing things now in this season that they wasn't doing a month ago, and there are countless of opportunities out there in the world for people that are in your same position. So not only are our prayers for you, Sister Emily, that God will help you secure a place of living, but for others, many that are homeless right now, they don't have a place to stay. Last night they stayed in the street. Some are sleeping in their cars, between alleys, and different things. I was looking at one news program the other day, and they were talking about how the homeless community is growing in their city. So there's a sincere need to provide shelter for those that are homeless, to give them a place to be safe and secure, and somewhere decent where they don't have to be afraid. So there are many programs throughout different states. And so our prayers is that one of our listeners may be aware of certain things in your state of Ohio and will pass on that information. And we don't know. It takes just one person who has the heart of giving, that has the wherewithal to do, that may say, hey, I want to sponsor you for the next month or two. And that will be greatly appreciated. And so we want to encourage you, if God is leading your heart to do that, and you're able to do that, then thank you in advance. Obey God. Just obey God and watch what he does for you next. Amen. Amen. Anybody else have a takeaway on this evening?
Amen. I want to say I pray that Sister Emily gets the funds she needs. I just wanted to start there. You said a couple of things that kind of stuck out in mind, and I think the first thing was, again, like when you went back to Genesis and how God has authority and what he had given man dominion over. The second thing that really stuck out to me was, I remember as a child asking my grandfather about the money that we put in church. And I said, you know, I asked my grandfather, I said, well, what if they don't do what they're supposed to with it? And my grandfather explained to me, he said, well, as long as you do what God asks you to do, then your conscience is clean. What they do goes on what they will be judged for. So when he explained it to me, I didn't worry about it, but it used to bother me. I was like, well, what are they doing with the money in the church, you know? But when you said it, it just kind of reminded me of my conversation with my grandfather.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. It's easy for, and here's a transparent moment. My oldest son, Kenneth Jr., when he turned 18, I gave him a bill to pay in the house. I didn't allow him to work through high school. I made him focus on his grades and everything. And y'all excuse Tipper get happy when somebody to the door. And so I didn't press a lot of things on him. But once he got of age, I began to make him take responsibility. And so I gave him a charge to pay so much. It was very small at the time. And he even said to me, I'm growing now. Not about this, that, and the other. I said, okay, son. I said, since you're grown, I don't sleep with men. So I ain't got him up with one person I'm sleeping with. That's the only person I'm responsible for. I'm talking about half his mama. I said, that's a must. So let me put these bills. And I took the bills and put them on the table. I said, well, here's what the house bills are. And here's what they add up to. And so since it's four of us, you know, your brother too young to pay in the bill, so I guess I got his portion too, so that leaves me with a third, but here's your quarter of the bills. And he looked at the bill. He said, Dad, I'm almost grown. I'm not quite grown yet. And I didn't have no problem out of him at all. And then when he turned 21, as he turned 20, and we had other conversations, start teaching responsibility, being faithful in his giving to the Lord and all of that. And so when he turned 21, I told myself, okay, all right, son, you're grown now. And we had this wonderful house at the time. The first conversation took place. We were staying in an apartment. By then, we had bought the house, and my house is real nice. I'm not tooting the horn. It's just a nice house. It really is. I have my house. It's a three-bedroom house, nice big old concrete fireplace, jacuzzi tub in the master bedrooms. Every bedroom in my house has walk-in closet. I got crown molding around the house. I bought it like this. I didn't have to do nothing but enjoy it. I cried the first month that we moved to here, but nevertheless, because I was so thankful to the Lord for it. But nevertheless, I gave him his portion to pay. I included in his portion his car insurance, food bill, and it was somewhere around about $500 or so. Forget the actual amount, but it was $500-something. And some people heard about it from the church and different things. And they were like, "Hell, Bonnie, man, I can't believe you chiding your son." I said, "Hold up. Number one, I thought I was the king, priest, prophet, and leader of my home. Number two, mm-hmm. you tell me where a young male in the city of Memphis can go and live and pay rent, food, and have his car. And at the time, we had a above-ground pool that was active, I said, have the amenities that my house offered for $500. Where? Tell me where, because I'm moving my family today." I said, "You can't." I said, "Do you realize what part of the county I live in? We don't hear sirens all night long. There's not burglar bars in my neighborhood." I said, "See, some of y'all don't know that you're teaching people to be poor hustlers and broke all their lives." So I took my son to Johnson Street here. Johnson Street here, from one end, 2 miles or more down that street, you can go left or right, and there's not a home under 750. And I began to take him down the home. Now, yes, we have a nice home. And I asked him, "So you think our home real nice?" He, yeah. I said, "Okay. Let me show you what nice is." And everywhere I took him was way better than what we have. I said, "Son, the Lord allowed me to get to this level at this season of my life with all the mistakes I made. You're young. You don't have the mistakes that I have. You have an opportunity to build a life." I said, "But what you think the house costs?" I said, "How much you think it costs? How much you think it costs to pay the rent debt?" Had a young lady whose husband stayed in that area. And so I knew what the rent mortgage was like. I said, "No, son, if you think our mortgage is something, try paying $5,000 a month for a mortgage." $5,000? Yeah. So if you don't make $5,000 a month, if you're just making $1,000 a month, how you expect to get this? How you expect to have that? And start teaching him to understand money is a tool, son. You don't chase money. You use it to acquire things that you desire. And you don't desire things because other people have them. You desire them because that's what you want for your family. I work at night. I wanted my family to be in a place I didn't have to work while I'm home and want to shoot somebody. So I had to pay the cost for the environment provided for my family safety. A lot of time we talk about what we want, but we won't work what God gave us. My wife used to ask me all the time, "Honey, how you do it?" She knew I had an injury in my back when we got married. I was constantly in pain. But I told the Lord, if it don't stop me, I ain't going to stop.
Amen. One at a time, step on the escalator. We're heading down to the basement. Who's frying chicken in the basement here at the overflow? Everybody, one at a time, get on the escalator. You're still enjoying the Six Eyes Radio Network gospel show. Amen. Phone lines are open, 424-243-9617. And go over there and like the Six Eyes Radio Network group. And one of our beautiful people of the Six Eyes Radio Network, please post this show right after.
Now amen, amen.
Amen.
And so God bless me. And I said all of this because now today my son has been on the same job since high school. So he's been on that job with FedEx for about 18 years now. So he's almost positioned. And he's just 35. So he's already, before 40, by the time he turns 40, he will be at an age where he can retire with a pension.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Because he listens. See, what we have to learn is we have to learn to teach people our mistakes without shame.
Amen.
And teach people how to advance in life and stick and stay until change happens. You can't have something if you keep – when the housing market bubble broke in 2008, people were telling me to sell my house, and I called them stupid. I did. The preacher did say that. I did. I said, what, you stupid? So maybe I said it in a form of a question, but the bottom line is I would tell them I will be stupid if I sell my house. This is my blessing. I sold my house and closed under 30 days. It's a blessing. So what would I look like because of hard times giving away my blessing?
Uh-huh.
Many of us don't read the Bible. We saw the two brothers, one, they were twins, but the older brother sold his birthright. Esau sold his birthright.
Mm-hmm.
And there was animosity because you didn't value what you had. When you learn to value what God has given you now and you work at it the best, I promise you, I've had people say, pray for me to have this, pray for me to have that. It's simple. What are you doing with what you have now? I had a sister ask me, Pastor, no, she called me Prophet. Prophet Bonnet, I need you to pray that God will send me a husband. I said, wow. I said, I guess you've been preparing to be a good wife. I said, wait a minute, hold on. You asked me to pray for God to send you a good husband, and you're not prepared to be a good wife? Well, I said, uh-uh. So you're asking me to pray that God will bless you and curse him. She repented. She said, I'm going to work on me from now on. We got to understand the blessing is already in our atmosphere. We got to work it. Tend the ground that God gave you. In other words, be faithful. Be faithful where you at. Be consistent in the things of God. If you are operating in God's kingdom, then you can reap the benefit of God's kingdom. I pay my taxes so I can get a tax return. And even if I have to pay more taxes, I don't have to worry because if I pick up the phone, call 911, police is coming. If I need the ambulance, if I need the fire department, because my taxes pay for these resources. So I have a benefit. I don't have to go to God and pray about whether or not my house going to burn down. I got some benefits. And then it's insured. See, we try to make too many things so spooky. But God has given us a system. And if we work the system that God gave us, we're already blessed. We're already blessed. Part of the problem is we haven't told God thank you for what he's already done. we haven't been thankful for what he's already done. And being thankful is more than you just opening up your mouth and saying thank you. It starts there.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
But it's more than that. If you gave me $5 and I snapped it out your hand and said thank you, you want your money back, don't you? You gonna want it back. It may just be $5, but if I snatch it out your hand, you want it back. It may mean nothing to you. It could be something you picked up and you say, man, hey, I think you need $5. Here you go. And I snatch it from you. Oh, man, give me that back. So how we think God feel when there's blessings all around us and we don't take advantage of the blessings. Many of us, we say we know how to cook, we know how to bake, but we don't cook nothing. We can have fresh fried sales for the church, but we won't do it for ourselves. We can have garage sales, help other people with garage sales, and we won't do it ourselves. There's a wealth of money circling us, the believer. There's a wealth of wherewithal. But we have to be proactive on them. And I know people don't want to hear stuff like this because we're always searching for miracles. You know what the true purpose of a miracle is? The miracle, purpose of a miracle is only when the blessing is not sufficient. That's the purpose of a miracle. When the blessing that you have is not enough. That's the only purpose of a miracle. But if God has blessed you, check the scriptures. He's always done things in a surplus. So you have to ask yourself, did I miss God or did God miss me? Well, God got a perfect aim. And whatever it is, own up to it. That's what made David such a man after God's heart. David killed a man. David set a man up to be killed to cover up his dirt. Number one, you should have been out there at the battlefield too with the other men. Number two, you looking at another woman's, and when they told you that was one of your men, your faithful men, when they told you that was his wife, your eyes should have went somewhere else. Countless women in the camp, and all of a sudden, all you see is another man's wife. You were being led by another system, and that system had nothing to do with God. And so when the prophet told David, David, thou art the man. You're the one that's in error. David didn't try to pawn it off on some other behavior. David repented. And that's all we have to do. Own up to our wrong and allow God the opportunity to make us positionally right so we can operate in the system he has already designed to be our blessing. It works. I've talked more than enough. More than enough. That's that pastoral side of me. Want to see people really blessed. And I really want to see you all blessed.
Yes.
I want you to be able to have what you need to live day to day. I want you to have it. I want you to know that you can have it. And I know. I've been there worrying about whether or not I'm going to be able to feed my children. worrying about whether or not I was going to be able to pay my bills. When my wife stopped working and this whole note was on me, this before she had her Social Security.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was many thoughts was on my mind. But I knew I had to trust God.
Amen.
And I had to have the attitude, Lord, if you allow this to go, you have something else in store for me. That was my resolve. My wife didn't like that. No, she didn't like that at all. She said, this is my home. I don't want to go nowhere else. And in my mind, I'm like, well, if we got to go, we got to go. But God going to have to make a way for us to stay.
Amen.
And he did.
Sir,
he did, because we're still here today. But we all go through hard times. And not easy. Now, I'd be lying if I say it was easy. Hard times is what they're called. Hard times.
Yeah,
but the beauty
true.
Of it is when you come out of it.
Yeah.
The beauty.
But it's the same. At the same time, you know, God said, faith without work is dead. I mean, everybody wakes up and just wants God to just be a genie. You have to put forth the work. I mean, I'm doing it with my eyes closed. And
Amen.
If I can do it, no person whose eyes are optically working correctly should have any excuse. I mean, whatever you want, you got to work toward it. And that's it.
Exactly.
Amen.
I agree with you 100%. You got to work towards it. I mean, if the unrighteous can work towards their goals and they accomplish them, then it has nothing to do with whether or not God is blessing you or not. It has everything to do with are you willing to get out there to do what it takes to receive what it is that you're asking for. And so that means we can't be lazy.
No, not at all.
We can't be lazy. You know, the Bible talks about being lazy in Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about that man being a hungry man. Yeah. And so, if you don't want to work towards something, then and if you're not willing to work towards it, then why should you have it? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
If others are working towards their goals and accomplishing them, you just want God to give you all of your goals and you don't have to accomplish nothing on your own, what fairity is that? So, we just have to be mindful of our position, so. Amen. Amen.
I think of 1 Timothy, I pulled it up so I could read it proper, chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, and the word says, since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks, for we know it is made acceptable by the word of God in prayer. That was a New Living Translation.
Wow.
And to you, Pastor, the word says in 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And you bless us every time we come together. I know I don't get to come and study as I would like to throughout the week. I am trying to get there at least for Motivational Mondays, if not for Bible study. But here on Sunday, I just want to say thank you, Pastor. Every week since I've been able to be here with you all, and I could share the word beyond myself through iHeartRadio and on Blog Talk Radio, and it's just a blessing because you speak what is right. Not what itchy ears want to hear, but you speak what is right. And thank you. God bless you, Lord, Lady, your heart, hands, and home. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. That means a lot. That means a lot. Amen. I'm going to keep on trying to do my best at fulfilling my assignment. Amen.
You're doing it.
Yes,
you're doing it. Now, if you would, you've already turned into an anchor man with something that's tragic. Now, tomorrow, it would make my heart smile if you were to go live for Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. 8 Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, Motivational Monday with Pastor Bonnet, 424-243-9617. Or you can check us out live at www.blogtalkradio.com/6eyes, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S. And please go over there and like the 6eyes Radio Network group. Now back to Who's Frying Chicken in the Basement on the 6eyes Gospel Show Overflow, Pastor Bonnet.
Amen, amen. I don't know who's frying chicken, but my wife has just come in, so we finna go get something to eat. I told y'all I was waiting on her arrival.
She has arrived.
I'm gonna find out. Let's see. Yeah. We got plenty of time too. So we finna go get us some food.
Now, what I'm gonna do? You know,
I think I'm gonna take up to the restaurant that I was to for the appreciation for Pastor.
Okay.
It's gonna be one of them
last week.
Last week, because she wasn't able to come, and so since she got some travel to do here. Tomorrow, I think that's where we're going to go eat. So hopefully we get in there. They probably going to have a line out of this world, but we're going to go, and hopefully they got a table ready for us so we can eat. Because I'd be hungry. I ain't that hungry.
Amen.
I'd be hungry.
you definitely go eat and have a portion for me, too. And what I'm going to do, since you preached such a great message today, I'm going to drive you all there to the restaurant. So I will be waiting outside for
all
you
right.
all, and I'm going to blow that horn, and I want you to have faith in getting that car.
All right.
And I'm going to drive y'all. And then after that, I have a great movie for y'all before you all retire for sleep. So, amen.
We're supposed to go see Black Adam, but I don't know if we're going to have time to catch that one today.
Amen.
Hey, Pastor Bonnet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mr. Ken, God
bless
you.
Just let you know, earlier in your message today, you were talking about the Garden of Eden. Well, tomorrow on Motivational Monday, for everybody, this is something for them to look forward to. Tomorrow I'm going to give the hip version to the Garden of Eden.
Oh, the hip version.
The hip version?
Yeah,
yep,
I know
hip.
What he's referring to, and I'm not saying.
It's the hip version. For all of those out there who think they're hip, they'll want to join us tomorrow on Motivational Monday, and I will tell you the hip version so that you'll be able to understand in your own language the hip version to the Garden of Eden.
Okay. I'm kind of scared, but okay.
I know what Missionary Ken's talking about.
I'm not scared. I'm not scared. My heart don't pump Kool-Aid. But I am a little concerned.
Amen. Concerned.
It is really a viewer discretion is advised. Viewer discretion is advised.
So I guess you have to. I have to put you up before our comedy act. That way, you know, we have a chance to bounce back. Just in case.
Amen.
Let's hope we got to get the censors ready.
Oh, Lord.
I heard of another sister. I'm looking for her material to make sure she's going to join us. I can't think of her name right now, Kim something. But supposed to be coming here. What did you say? they were here Friday in Memphis, and for last Hallelujah. Hopefully I can find her and get her to be with us tomorrow to enjoy that particular person in their gifts.
Go ahead and book her for Monday.
I've been enjoying our Christian comedians, our clean comedy, and I really hope you all have been enjoying it, those of you that's been listening. I plan on doing that for a little time now, probably through Christmas, unless the Lord say something different. But I want us to enjoy life. Life is precious. I'm going to send it to you, Emily. There's a tune and depiction of Charlie Brown and Snoopy sitting at a bay shoreline. You know, you have the walkway. And Charlie Brown says to Snoopy, he says, let me pull that up, make sure I quote it right. He says to Snoopy that we only have one life to live. And Snoopy bring correction to him. Excuse me. And Snoopy brings, is this it?
It's all right. So you all agree.
Snoopy brings correction to him. Snoopy says, he tells Charlie Brown wrong. We live every day. And the whole understanding is Charlie Brown was thinking that you only have one life to live, and then you die. And Snoopy said, no, we live every day. So every day is a chance to live. Don't focus on death. Focus on life. And be blessed there. Amen. And so y'all take that with you. Emily need to stop. She done hit me with one already, y'all. Love is not having to hold. I ain't gonna repeat it. Yeah, that's an Emily joke. That's definitely. I guess I can.
Dad, my daughter had that up on Facebook.
Yeah, that is one to put up. That's the inside joke. That's the inside joke. Anyway.
I got you.
Yeah. That's all right. I thank you.
When you get the chance, Dad, show that one to Mom.
I will. Now, by the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, we didn't do the Bloodhound of Scripture. Missionary Ken, are you still going to do that today, or are we going to hold on to it?
Well, give me one little bit here, and we'll be ready to do just that.
Amen. Well, once again, hope all of you had an opportunity to embrace the message on today. Look forward to talking to you all tomorrow night. we're going to be dealing with our subject of prayer. And so join us.
Okay, here we go.
Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tents in Israel for inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation.
And as you can see, God said he gave something to the Levites. And we'll hear that one more time.
Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tents in Israel for an inheritance, for the service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation.
And as you could see, what he gave them was a tenth, the tithe, for an inheritance. And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
Okay. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenths in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation.
All right. Anybody know where that is?
Amen. Numbers 18 and 21.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. What was that, Nikhil?
We got it.
Numbers 18 and 21.
Amen.
That is correct.
Amen. And behold, I have given it to you. Amen. Numbers.
And that is
Amen.
A very good chapter to understand tithing.
Amen.
It tells you the what, where, when, why, and how of tithing.
And a lot of money.
Good job.
Amen. All right, and this is what you got to sniff out by next week.
When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth.
Now, you notice it says when you do your alms, this is a type of giving. It tells us how to do it. And we'll hear that one more time again. Amen.
When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth.
And it tells you, you should do them when you're giving. Do it in such a way that one hand doesn't even know what the other hand is doing. And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth.
And there you have it, what you have to sniff out by next week.
You work. Don't you like to stay in your chair all day? Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, our benediction now, by the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with each of us for here, now, and forever. Let everyone with a glad heart say amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Y'all take care. Y'all take care. You just enjoyed the Six Eyes Radio Gospel Show. Now, please post this show on your walls and go like that Six Eyes Radio Network group. All right. I'm waiting in the car.
All right.
All right. Hey, let's go.
Come on, I ain't going to be waiting all day now. I'm going to blow the horn a couple of times. Now, y'all come on.
Yeah, the chauffeur have to be patient.
Yes. Take all the time you need. Take all the time you need. I'll be sitting here. I'll be sitting here waiting.
We got the chauffeur booked for 3 hours. So
So wherever you want to go. Wherever you want to go.
All right. Good night.
All right, John Joy. John Joy, God bless. Love you all. Take care.
Love you all. Bye-bye. Honey.